the Brahma Viharas offer a roadmap. You know, they allow for intentionality. You know, how might I want to live? How might I want to orient the compass bearings of my heart and my life? So they are a way that we develop clarity and capacity for directing our life, guiding our energy in a particular direction so that it's not accidental, you know, so that there is a sense of purpose. And so, as we typically do, we'll begin with practice, and then I'll offer a few reflections on joy and give you a chance to interact with one another. And so I invite you to settle in, finding a posture for the body that brings in a quality of dignified presence, maybe through a slight lengthening through the spine, lifting the head towards the sky, and a simultaneous softening and settling into the support beneath and behind you. Even as we arrange the body, we're really arranging a channel for the energy of these heart qualities. Joy can enter and flow when there's some vitality in the body through alertness. And it's powerfully supported by a felt sense of ease, so that we're not straining or efforting. It's like we're relaxing the body so we can potentially relax the heart open to receive and express more fully this capacity for delight, appreciation. Rejoicing. You might let yourself take a few slightly deeper breaths. With each exhalation, allowing, softening, and settling more fully into this moment. Resting, relaxing any of those parts of the body that might be reservoirs for stress. stress or tension. You might even sweep the warm sunbeam of your awareness through the body, taking care to connect with a full sense of the body and to invite a releasing and a relaxing wherever possible. Softening that space between the eyebrows. Letting the eyes rest back in their sockets, released from the pull of the outside world for just this little while. Softening through the jaw, opening through the throat, with an out breath, letting the shoulders melt away from the ears, allowing the arms and the hands to rest comfortably in your lap or on your leg. Softening through the belly, which might allow for a gentle releasing through the low back, with the next breath, noticing if there's any bracing in the lower body, letting your exhalation carry tension down through the legs and out through the soles of the feet and the toes. Softening into this moment. And having taken care to relax the body in this way, You might also invite the thinking muscle to relax. Offering the mind an opportunity to begin to slow down, to rest. And of course, thoughts will come. It's not that you're trying to eliminate all thinking, but gifting the mind some place to rest its attention in the body. Maybe with the felt sense of the breath. Or maybe one of those touch points, feet on the floor, or your bottom on the chair, or the cushion, or your hands, wherever they rest. Finding a home base that you can come back to again and again. Whenever you find yourself caught up in the thought stream, And as your body and mind begin to settle, let yourself explore bringing the slightest smile to the corners of your lips. As you do so, you might even feel a bit of a smile uplift the corners of your eyes. Noticing any energetic impact of inviting in the quality of a smile. No expectations, just a light curiosity. What's here? As you invite in the expression that we so often connect with happiness, contentment, and joy. Sometimes people will even describe feeling the energy of a smile in their heart center as they do this. So just letting yourself explore the experience of a smile. And if somehow you find yourself tangled up in thinking about this rather than experiencing it, you can always come home to your anchor of breath or touch point or body. And now, letting yourself explore bringing this quality of perhaps slightly more settled, warm-hearted presence to opening to the happiness of others. Calling to mind maybe someone or some being in your life in a moment of happiness, contentment, ease, playfulness, or joy. It might be a memory of laughing with a good friend, or playing with a grandchild. Watching the delight of a beloved pet sleeping in a sunspot. Or the squirrel in your backyard sitting contentedly nibbling a nut on a tree branch. Or someone who received really good news. They got a job, they got engaged, they found out they're pregnant. Could be a moment, big or small. Just notice what arises in the heart as you call to mind a moment of someone else's happiness. Again, no expectations, no right way of being, just curiosity. What's it like? Maybe there's a widening of the smile on your lips or in your heart. A sense of warmth or delight or celebration. Quality of yes, I'm happy for your happiness. May it continue. May it be a blessing in your life. And as we come into the final minutes of our practice today, you might see how wide this smile might wish to stretch, how expansive the heart might wish to be in this moment, maybe opening to other moments of happiness or joy in those you know or those you don't know. Maybe a gentle wish that somehow each and every life be touched by moments of contentment, ease, peace, and joy. And that somehow your own heart's capacity for clarity and kindness can shine forth in a smile for the world, perhaps a mirror to invite, to reflect the happiness of others so they too can see and feel those moments of happiness more fully. May all beings know true happiness and be free from suffering. May it be so. And in your own time, as you are ready, you might bring that gentle half-smile back into the room with you as you greet your friends on this call. So lovely to be with all of you today and to explore this topic of joy. You know, joy is one of those things that, just like kindness, last week we talked about how loving kindness can feel like a high bar, you know, and we talked about the qualities of friendliness and goodwill as feeling more accessible. You know, if loving kindness feels like a high bar, as I've taught and practiced over the years, often joy feels like it's off the charts. How do we touch joy, especially in the midst of some of the monumental difficulties of this year? And, you know, one of the things that's so beautiful about these qualities is they really organically arise. They are our natural capacities. And the heart has this warmth. And when it touches happiness, it has this capacity for expansiveness and celebration. Sometimes that's difficult to access. Our survival wiring, which we've talked about on different occasions, is ruled by our negativity bias. You know, as Rick Hansen says, we are hardwired for survival, not for happiness. You know, the limbic system is scanning for danger, and you know, it helped us survive the saber-toothed tigers and the threats that are in the world. So that's often very quick, you know, responsiveness. And we also know that we can train our minds to tune in to the good, to find those moments of beauty and delight and peace. And the art of noticing and celebrating others' happiness is one inroad to that. You know, I don't know the exact quote, but I know the Dalai Lama in different ways at different times has said something like, if you want to increase your chances of happiness, make the whole world's happiness your happiness, you know, and you increase your chances by 7 billion to 1. You know, it's like, oh, if I'm not having a good day, but I somehow wander into the presence of someone who is, we know that that can have an impact, right? Just like if you walk into a room of somebody who's having a really bad day, we know how that feels. Right? There's this energy of like, whoa, you know, I feel that anger or that irritation. I have a friend who, her nickname is, you know, Sparkly, you know, in front of her name. People just call her Sparkly. And she just has this energy that radiates, and you just get in there. It's hard to be in a bad mood around her. So I often, you know, this invitation and the practice of calling to mind someone in a moment of joy. She's one of my friends that when I'm having a hard day, I call her to mind because, you know, it's really hard to not smile when I bring her to mind. Many of you may have that experience with a favorite pet or a grandchild. Grandchildren are like a deep well for accessing joy for many people. And I know a number of you have spoken about your grandchildren over time, or dear friends. So there's many access points. There's no one right way. Gratitude, which we've worked with, appreciation can be an access point. And it can help to have a more settled body and mind. So that progression of settling the body and then simplifying the mind, it creates more space to actually notice the goodness. It doesn't mean you have to have a blank mind, an empty mind, but just to turn the dial down on the chatter that's in there so there's space to see. And sometimes we practice with a felt sense. So the practice of the half smile is one that is frequently offered, that it's at least harder to be in a bad mood if you're smiling, you know. And there's actually some interesting research, you know, I was reviewing again, that smiling has been shown to have beneficial physiological effects. It lowers blood pressure, it enhances the immune system, releases natural painkillers, and it's a natural antidepressant. So this little practice of a half smile can tune us in to the flavor of joy. You know, the Pali word, just because some of you I know like to know these, is mudita, M-U-D-I-T-A. And it's sometimes translated appreciative joy, sympathetic joy, so resonating with others' joy, or rejoicing. You know, sometimes I just think about, like, you know, it has this uplifting, like, celebratory quality to it. They also say that people who smile in a wholehearted way live, on average, 7 years longer than those who do not have a habit of smiling. So, you know, this is a good antidote to aging, right? And it's universal. It's a universal language that we all can speak. You know, people are perceived as more approachable. And now, in this time of COVID, we're actually genuine smiles actually extend to the eyes. So you can read a smile in the eyes if you practice smiling, which is part of why I invited. As you smile at the lips, often we feel that upturn at the eyes or that feeling in the heart, a smile in the heart. And I think that's really helpful to bring that energy out into this world where it can feel so disconnecting sometimes to miss the facial expressions. But smiles are more than just what's happening here. It's really an energetic quality that we can radiate and gift the world. The other element I'll just name around practice is sometimes this practice of joy is cultivated or strengthened through the use of phrases. A simple phrase of acknowledgement, like, oh, I celebrate your happiness, or I see your happiness, or I'm happy for your happiness. Or may your happiness continue. You know, and it's not so much that we're wishing this particular happiness always continue, you know. But it's like, may happiness always be part of your life. You know, may the capacity in you that's capable of touching happiness always be sustained and accessible. So it's really a bigger wish beyond the moment or beyond the words. But I offer that. You know, sometimes it's just sort of the energy or exclamation of, like, yes, you know, this is good. May this goodness continue in your life. So, and it's always here, and it's not that we're experiencing joy instead of everything else that's going on. We're experiencing joy in the midst of what's going on. That's what this practice is about. And Howard Thurman has a lovely quote. He's an African-American author, philosopher, educator, civil rights leader, theologian. He says, whatever may be the tensions and the stresses of a particular day, there is always lurking close at hand the trailing beauty of forgotten joy or unremembered peace. So there are these nuggets, these sparkles in the midst of the darkness, and that's what this practice invites us to access. And it can go both ways. In honor of the smile practice, Thich Nhat Hanh says, sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, but sometimes your smile can be the source of your joy. So there's many access points, and I would love to offer you a little time in breakout groups together. And what I would invite is I may put you in pairs for this, and then there'll be one group of three, which is fine. You can have a general conversation about joy. That may speak to you, so do whatever's joyful. If you want a little structure, you could also engage in what I find a beautiful practice in partners, and you can do this in a triad as well. You just do two people and one person witnesses, and then you rotate. Is a simple repeating question exercise. Some of you may have done this before, some of you it's brand new. And it's one person offers the gift of the question, what brings you joy? And the other person answers. And the questioner simply says, thank you. What brings you joy? And you ask again. And another answer, oh, sunlight, sunshine. Thank you. What brings you joy? You know, my best friend. Thank you. And you just take turns. You'll have about, I would say like 6 or 7 minutes together. So you could take half the time and you could, you know, one person gets to answer and then you'll switch and I'll sort of let you know when it's the halfway mark. So whatever speaks to your hearts, you know, a general conversation about joy or this very sweet exercise, and notice what it feels like in your heart to be the one naming it, and notice what it's like to bear witness and be in the presence of others' joy. And as ever, breakout rooms are optional. And it looks like one person wants to pass, which makes us an even number. So if anybody else wants to pass, you can let me know. And I will just do a little shifting around. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. All right. Enjoy each other's company. You can just